when I went to the emergency room after 8 hours, they with CT scan and brain MRI, they came back and said, "Dr. Pete, you have a glioblastoma. You have terminal brain cancer." They thought I had a 12 to 18 month window. Now, since then, you know, when the MD Anderson doctors looked at my MRI, they said, "No, you have a 1% chance to still be alive in 8 months." And that 8 month mark anniversary was actually last weekend. And so, you know, I feel like I'm a miracle. I'm cancer free. The doctor says I'm in complete remission, says I have a normal brain.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. It is so awesome to be here with you today. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, we're going to be talking about a topic that affects millions of people around the world. It's the C word. Yeah, it's that word that we don't even like to say the word. That's right, cancer. But did you know that approximately 1 in 3 people will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime? That's a lot. And in 2026 alone, an estimated 1.1 million new cases of cancer are expected to be diagnosed just in the United States. Now, despite these staggering statistics, advancements in research and treatment options, they continue to provide hope and healing. And so I am so excited and honored to have Dr. Pete Sulak with us today. He has a powerful story of resilience and recovery from stage 4 brain cancer. You're going to hear how his journey and protocols that he used have been part of his healing modality. But also, I wanted to have him on because I was hoping that maybe you would find hope along your own cancer journey, or even if you are looking to prevent cancer. His therapies and protocols are spot on. And I think he's going to offer you a lot of hope. But he was actually on the show, gosh, a year ago in episode 119. This was pre-cancer. And so I wanted to have him on now and for him to share his story with you. And if you did not listen to episode 119, let me just give you a snippet of who Dr. Pete is. Number one, he's a dear friend of myself and my husband. And he's just an incredible human being. We love him and his family. But he is the founder of Redeem Health and Chiropractic. Formerly, it was known as Exodus Chiropractic, but it was one of the premier wellness centers in North America. He's a graduate of Northwestern Health Sciences University and a doctorate of chiropractic, doctorate of chiropractic. And Dr. Pete has been actively serving patients for the last 20 plus years from his practice in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so the Lord has taken him on a new journey in how he is helping and serving his patients through his own cancer diagnosis. So I know you're going to enjoy the show. Dr. Pete is married to his beautiful wife, Stephanie. Let's see, they have 4 boys, Isaiah, Eli, Ashton, and Ezekiel, who know that living vulnerable to the demands and stressors of life is not living at all. They are all about pushing away stress and working together as a family and having great, incredible faith in the Lord. So I know you're going to enjoy this episode. It is a good one. All right. Well, welcome Dr. Pete Sulak back to the Visibly Fit podcast. Last time I had you on, it was a different story that you were living. And now you're living a totally different story. And people are like, what are you even talking about? So let's just dive right in and let people know what you have been healed from and what you went through, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the Monday before Thanksgiving was November 25th, and I was feeling a little bit off. You know, looking back, it was probably 18 months kind of in the works, but that Monday morning I went and we told my staff that, hey, I'm going to take a step back. I didn't know if I had a mini stroke or not. I was dropping things when I was trying to write my signature or even write. You couldn't read my writing. my wife was finishing my sentences. In even a lot of our evangelistic crusades, my mind would freeze. I thought it was brain fog, but I could feel it coming on, and then my mind would literally go blank. I couldn't get any words out for about 5 seconds, but it felt so much longer than that. Even when it came to playing baseball with my boys, I couldn't throw a ball. It would literally go sideways. And so I knew something was off. But we told my staff that morning that, hey, you know, I don't know if I had a mini stroke or not, but I'm going to get checked out. But it's the perfect time for you guys to step forward, and I'm going to take a step back. And my brother convinced me to go to the emergency room that afternoon because, to be honest with you, it was Thanksgiving week. And when I went to the emergency room after 8 hours, they with CT scan and brain MRI, they came back and said, Dr. Pete, you have a glioblastoma. You have terminal brain cancer. They thought I had a 12 to 18 month window. Now, since then, you know, when the MD Anderson doctors looked at my MRI, they said, no, you have a 1% chance to still be alive in 8 months. And that 8 month mark anniversary was actually last weekend. And so, you know, I feel like I'm a miracle. I'm cancer free. The doctor says I'm in complete remission, says I have a normal brain. And so, you know, it's been amazing. So the whole journey has been kind of a roller coaster whirlwind, to say the least. But I don't think I've traded for anything in the world other than my salvation and my family. Honestly, the greatest gift I've been given is this diagnosis of brain cancer, because I really feel, one, the Lord raised up a prayer army. But at the same time, I really believe the Lord has punked the devil with my life, and what the enemy used for harm, God has truly turned around and used it for his glory.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, so true. So true. It's just, you are a walking miracle. And I actually had a conversation with you. We had a meeting that Friday before the Monday that you found out. And I remember getting off the call and telling Todd, my husband, something seemed off. Like Pete wasn't all adding up what we were talking about. And I thought, well, maybe he's just stressed or whatever. And then when you told me on Monday, you know, Todd and I had the privilege and the honor of just battling and in this intercessory prayer mode, like I have not experienced myself in a long time. And I feel like it was just a real privilege. And I know you had so many prayer warriors out there. So let's talk about the power of prayer, because I mean, obviously God can do whatever God wants to do. And his time is marked on everyone's life, but the power of prayer. I mean, I think about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And when Abraham was like, if 10 are worthy, will you still burn it down? If, you know, he kept kind of negotiating and having this conversation with God. So let's talk a little bit about the power of prayer and what you experience with just being lifted up there.
You know, I truly believe that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. They produce results. And I think, you know, for children of God that come boldly into the throne of grace to attain grace and mercy and help in a time of need, to live from the vantage point of heaven where the battle's not ours, it's the Lord's, and the victory's already won when we come up with him. And where we fight from our spiritual authority as sons and daughters of God, new creations in Christ, ambassadors of heaven, things happen. And, you know, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, what's that? Well, faith isn't simply mustering something up to get a result in my life. Faith is actually an impartation from heaven that says it is so. Faith is when I'm fully convinced of God reality, of the reality of heaven in my life, of, you know, really when I'm fully convinced of truth. And what's truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What's truth? The entirety of the Word of God is truth. What's truth? The Bible is truth. Who we are now that Christ has come, his promises are truth. And when that truth becomes truly what I'm convinced of in my heart of hearts, it will, the litmus test of that is it brings rest to me. It brings freedom to me, and it brings peace. And when I'm fully convinced of what the Word of God says in regards to my life, that's the evidence of faith. And so oftentimes we misappropriate faith. So we think that faith is simply knowing what the Bible says intellectually, like I memorize scripture. And so all of a sudden, like I live in faith, like I believe God's my healer. So believing God's your healer intellectually isn't necessarily faith. It's when you are fully convinced that he's your healer, that this rest comes over you, this impartation comes upon you, and you just say, it is so. And that's the biggest thing we found when I was diagnosed, is I had this supernatural peace. People say, well, how was it? honestly, I had a supernatural peace. My family had a supernatural peace, and so many people in our lives had a supernatural peace as well.
Yeah. Well, what would you say to the person listening that's like, Dr. Pete, I think I've got that, but yet, I don't know. I guess they're still uncertain. Like, do I really have it until, you know, something big like that comes into their life? Maybe they won't know. But
You know, that was the question that I had too. You know, for years, you know, I didn't ever think in a million years I'd be diagnosed with brain cancer. But with all the work I do around the world, I thought there's a good chance possibly that I would be kidnapped, thrown in jail, beheaded, whatever, and for the gospel. And I've always thought, like, if that ever happened, if I was kidnapped, if I was basically, if they wanted to behead me, if they threw me in jail, would I lose perspective? Would I be one that, you know, like, how would I respond? And I think probably the most encouraging thing for me in the midst of this diagnosis was I pray that it honored the Lord, my perspective. And so, you know, there's so many people in scripture that talks about they died in faith. And I always thought that was odd, but like, what do you mean they died in faith? Why would they die? But they died never losing perspective. They died always being fully convinced of the realities of heaven. You know, even early on in the ministry, when we began to see miracles take place, and I just said, you know, Lord, he made a comment to me. He said, if you will believe my word, even over your circumstances, I will do something supernatural in your life. And I remember, you know, contesting for deaf ears opening up around the world. And he just said, do you believe I heal the deaf? I go, well, yeah, Lord. I go, because your word says it. He goes, what will be the litmus test is if you pray for the deaf, nothing happens, and you still believe I heal the deaf. Mm. I said, yeah. And so I remember just beginning to just keep that perspective. And then we started seeing deaf ears open up. And then I remember it was blind eyes. I said, Lord, you know, he goes, do you believe I heal the blind? I said, yes, Lord, your word says it. He goes, well, you know, even if you don't see a miracle firsthand, will you believe I, yes, because your word is true, and let everything else be a lie. And Lord, I even like Mary reminded me of like, Lord, in the natural, that's impossible. It's impossible to have a baby when I'm a virgin, you know, especially the Son of God.
Right.
But be it unto me according to the word of the Lord. For all things are possible to him who believes. And I think for me too, it's just, you know, that's when the beauty things like, did I get squeezed? Absolutely. Were there moments where I felt a yoke? Absolutely. But in those moments, the Lord had already taught me to come boldly into his presence to attain grace and mercy in time of need. And the Bible says in Hebrews, there's a rest for the people of God when we live by faith. And if you, and the litmus test of that is a freedom and liberty and a peace, as you mentioned. But if I don't have that peace in my life, if the circumstances come, the Bible says the word of God comes and divides soul and spirit and is the revealer of the thoughts and intents of a person. And if the word of God comes and the word of God says that God's my healer, but the diagnosis comes and says, well, you have 1% chance to be alive in 8 months. Like, what do I believe? You know, like, this is all up in my business. This is drowning out this reality of truth in my life. And so, Lord, how do I appropriate that? And if I'm carrying a yoke, it means it's not a condemning thing, but the Lord would just simply tell me that I'm faithless. He told his disciples the same thing. And he's not doing it to condemn me. He's doing it to bring me up to a higher level of authority in him. And, you know, if I'm yoked by this life, it means that this world has got up in the crevices of my heart and become what I'm fully convinced of. And it carries a yoke. There's a litmus test. But if the word of God comes and is imparted in spite of the diagnosis and this peace comes over me and says, it is so, like, Lord, I thank you that you have already healed me. I thank you that it's already done. I thank you that I'm not going to die but live and declare the lustrous works of the Lord. That peace that comes over me, that's faith. But if I don't have that faith, if I don't have that peace when the circumstances arise, then the Bible says, then come boldly to the throne of grace to attain grace and mercy and help in need. Why? Come and receive my perspective once again. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew, it says, certain ones only come out through prayer and fasting. Now, he's referring to an epileptic boy that was being thrown into the fire, and the disciples, you know, tried to pray for him and nothing happened. And the dad came off the mountain and came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, you know, can you heal my boy? And he says, well, sure I can. And we always know the will of God based on Jesus's life, and he healed the boy. And so That's his nature. He's an all-powerful, miracle-working God. But then he brings his disciples aside for a teaching moment. He says, you faithless and perverse generation. He wasn't talking to the unbelievers, because he only calls the unbelievers up. He calls his children out. He calls his children out because he wants to teach them and bring them to new levels of authority and intimacy with him. And so he says to his disciples, he says, you are faithless and perverse. And he said, but certain ones only come out through prayer and fasting. Certain ones, he wasn't saying epilepsy is a hierarchy. He wasn't saying that there's certain miracles that are higher, more difficult. He was saying certain mindsets only come out, certain mindsets contrary to truth. Certain mindsets that get up in your business. Certain mindsets that basically tell you you have a 1% chance to be alive in 8 months. Mindsets that say you have a tennis ball sized tumor. Mindsets that say you should be dead right now. Those mindsets only come out through prayer and fasting. Well, what's prayer and fasting in this context? Prayer is not begging God. Fasting is not just going and abstaining from food. Prayer is, and I should say fasting, first of all, is uprooting those things that got into my heart, in the crevices of my heart, that are drowning out truth.
Right.
Get rid of those things. So fasting is I come away with the Lord and I get rid of these mindsets. And then prayer is I come in the midst of getting rid of these mindsets, I come boldly into his presence to gain the perspective of heaven once again, to meditate on his word day in and day out, to not look to the depart from the right or to the left, but meditate on it so that I can be successful in all I do. So why? So I can produce fruit that's worthy of eternity.
So good, Dr. Pete. Oh my goodness. I feel like I could just drop the mic right there, because that's just so powerful. And, you know, you've been through so much, not just with the cancer, but also a lot of other personal things that have happened from other people that are near and dear to you that have died recently. And just, it's like, okay, these attacks, like, they just have to stop. And so I know you continue to, have this great faith in the midst of everything else that's kind of going on around you. I see like a tornado, and kind of you're in the eye of the tornado, and just peace and calm while there's chaos going all around. And that's the peace of God. And I think it's so beautiful.
And I think, in regards to that, because people have asked, I said, like, Dr. Pete, how do you do it? Like, not only did, especially from my wife's perspective, your husband's diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. The same year, your dad dies in a truck accident, which is just a fluke. He's very young and healthy and dies in a truck accident. And then I just lost one of my best friends in the world of cancer, 52 years of age, just last weekend, and preached his funeral. And so it's like, how do you deal with all these things? Simply, it's Jesus. Yeah. He's the anchor, he's my hope. He's our confidence. And though we mourn, absolutely, we don't mourn as ones without hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And I think that peace isn't superficial. It's not something I can wipe off the mirror. It's tangible. It's weighty. It's based and rooted and grounded in the reality that we're children of the living God. And this life, we're only passing through this life. This life isn't our home. But as long as we're given the grace and the gift to be a part of this life, then Lord, use our life for your glory. And and just let us not lose perspective. We're not victims. We're more than conquerors and overcomers in Christ.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I wanted to jump over a little bit into kind of your journey. So you got the diagnosis and you and your family processed it and decided, okay, I'm going to MD Anderson, the best in the world, and see what they have for me and what they can get this tennis ball tumor out of my head. And if you can put your head down, we can all see the scar right there. Yeah. And so, but you didn't just do what the medical community wanted you to do through and through. You flipped the script and you did quite a bit of alternative therapies and modalities. And so I kind of want to just kind of talk about how there has been a balance of that. But you have definitely leaned more into the alternative therapies, and we can list those because there's a bunch that you do. But let's talk about what MD Anderson did for you first, and then kind of what made you, decide and go into more of the alternative.
Yeah. I believe that the Lord's hand was on every single step of the way. I remember being in the hospital, you know, in the emergency room for those 8 hours, and the neurosurgeon coming in and saying, Dr. Pete, you know, you have a, what they thought was a glioblastoma, it's terminal brain cancer. My wife and I are sitting there, and, you know, and then he says this to me. He says, well, Dr. Pete, how do I know you? I said, sir, I don't know. I don't know if we've met before. And he goes, and I looked through the records of the hospital, and you're not a patient here. You've never been a patient here. I said, no, I haven't. And he said, I know. He goes, I'm actually reading your book right now. And he was actually that morning was reading my book, one of my books on really on health and functional medicine. And he said, wow. You know, I've been getting into functional medicine, and someone said to me, you need to read this book. And she goes, this morning I was reading your book. He said, what a coincidence.
And like, we no, know that's that, God.
Yeah, it's completely the Lord, because it gave me the opportunity to say, sir, then if this was your situation or your family, where would you have surgery? Because you're asking me to have surgery tomorrow morning next to a Walmart in Knoxville, Tennessee, like, no offense, where would you go? And he said, I would go to MD Anderson. He said, I'm from Houston, and I would go to MD Anderson. And within a week, we're in, through just the favor and grace of God, we're at MD Anderson. Within another week, we were in a 7-hour brain surgery. I was awake for 5 hours. They removed a tennis ball sized tumor. From there, you know, I decided, kind of the approach I took was I went to Immunocine Cancer Center in Cancun. There they took the tumor that was extracted, mixed it with my plasma, and gave me 3 shots, which produced dendritic cells that will actually go and scavenge my body for any remaining tumor growth or future tumor growth. But then, you know, really, how I knew that we were going to take a very specific strategy. And for me, that strategy was, we're going to make sure we had a very personalized diet, very personalized supplementation. We are going to make sure that detox pathways are open, that we're going to oxygenate the cells, and we're going to live by faith. So those are the 5 pillars. And unfortunately, when we went, kind of navigated the medical scene, the medicine wasn't navigating, they weren't addressing those 5 pillars at all. They basically were telling you that diet doesn't matter, that eat whatever you want, that is just get calories. Yet they'll give you, at the same thing, they'll give you a PET scan that will fill you up with radiographic glucose. It will blow you up like a Christmas tree and light that cancer up.
The opposite.
And then there's really nothing for detoxification, nothing for supplement. They didn't believe in supplementation. Oxygenation, they would think you're crazy. And then, you know, faith. And so for us, we decided, okay, how are we going to approach this? And for me, probably one of the saving graces was I had developed a program 5 years previous for my wife where we customized, basically we took her blood work and customized a compounded tailor-made supplement for her, created a meal plan based on her blood work, set up a nutritionist. And so I had seen the results from my wife, seen the results from my patients over the
years.
And
why did you do this for your wife? Just so the audience knows.
Yeah. So my wife came to me and she was in her mid-40s and she was eating clean. She was gluten-free, dairy-free. She was taking supplements. She was working out. She's beautiful, but she felt lousy. She had digestive issues, hormonal imbalances, exhausted. And she came to me, and so we reached out to a number of functional medicine practitioners and found that most of them did not do blood work, and the ones that did do blood work gave everyone the same supplements. They were great supplements, but everyone got the same. There's no meal plan. And so my wife just said, like, just very matter of fact, like, hey, no offense, but I need to figure this thing out. Like, I'm tired of guessing. Like, I'm tired of just throwing supplements at myself. And, you know, like, no offense, but it's not working.
Yeah.
And so I just said, okay, well, let's go run some tests. Let's go run a food sensitivity test. Even though she was eating clean, I wanted to make sure we weren't adding insult to injury by giving her healthy foods that weren't healthy for her. I did a DNA test to determine if there's any DNA mutations that were going to affect methyl detox pathways. I also did a micronutrient analysis, because what most people don't realize is that if the body is nutrient deficient in vitamins or minerals, then the heavy metals, the mold, the Lyme, the parasites, everything that we're trying to do, balancing hormones and so forth, really isn't going to work as long as the body is nutrient deficient.
Right.
And then we did a gut test, because if her gut was leaky, it was going to put extra pressure on her liver and her kidneys, which would overwhelm her hormones and her lungs and everything else like that. And to be completely transparent with you, I called my manufacturer with this information and I said, hey, can you do me a favor? Thinking that, of course, like, hey, you're Dr. Pete, we'll do you a favor, no big deal. I said, can you take my wife's blood work, put it down your assembly line and fill it with what she's deficient in? And they laughed at me. They
really?
Said, no, Dr. Pete, they said, that doesn't work. They said, there's no money in compounded supplements and no one in America will actually accommodate.
Mm.
And they're right. I literally called everyone and I finally found someone in Canada that was willing to not only take my wife's blood work and fill it with what she was deficient in, but couple it with her DNA mutations and food sensitivities. And then what's cool is that we were able to measure 50 antioxidants against her physiology to see which ones would be most protective for her. And we
so
compounded
good.
This supplement for her, created a meal plan based on her blood work, and honestly, it was life-changing. And I started getting calls from oncologists, because I opened it up to my patients and started getting calls from oncologists saying, hey, we sent a patient to you 4 months ago, that 7 years ago had breast cancer, they did the conventional treatment, has come back with a vengeance now, and they've refused treatment, so we sent her to you. And now after 4 months, we convinced her to rerun her labs and found that all the tumors had shrunk in half and were hollow. She's cancer-free. And I started hearing that over and over again. And it's so cool how God is in the details and goes
yes.
before us, because then when I was diagnosed, it was a no-brainer. Like, okay, I'm going to run these labs on myself, customize a supplement, create a meal plan. And like for me, I'm in a very strict keto diet. But I found that I had a sensitivity to chicken and beef, but I was great with bison and salmon. Yet allulose, which is in a lot of keto-friendly snacks, had a sensitivity to allulose, but I was great with monk fruit and stevia. I just would have never known that information unless
sure.
I would have looked under the hood. And so I'm very grateful I did.
Oh, God is so good. Yes. Like you said, he went before you 5 years earlier, knowing that this was going to occur. And man, I love it. And I still remember the visual I got of that catapult. And that's what the Lord has really done with you guys is catapulted the program and protocol because of what you've gone through and how you can relate to people. And it's just beautiful. I'm just curious because you've traveled all around the world doing crusades and just traveling in general. Intuitively, I know you're not going to know, for sure what the reason is that you got the tumor, but would you pinpoint it to maybe parasitic? Would you pinpoint it to environmental? What would you pinpoint? Stress?
Yeah. I have been around the world 25 times and been.
Wait, 25 times around the world. That's amazing.
And so it's interesting though, because when you mentioned that to a doctor, they said, hey, could this tumor be parasitic? And they look at you like you're an idiot. Like there's no way the cancer has anything to do with parasites. But if you look at medical, not my research, look at medical research, look at cancer research. And there's a lot of correlation right now. And so whether it's parasitic because I've been around the world so much, whether it's ionizing radiation and cell phones, whether it's, I had amalgam fillings. I've had an infection in one of my wisdom teeth that I had removed. Is it stress, not having margins? Or is it just an assignment from the enemy to try to take me out before my assignment was over? I really believe it was that. But I thank God that he uses everything, and he uses everything for the most beautiful story and testimony that we get to live out as children of God. And so I don't know really what it was, but I'll tell you what, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened, because it's opened up an incredible opportunity to give people
to
hope and serve people and hopefully inspire people.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, God is so good. And like you said, he's so faithful. And I love how you and your family just really walk that faith walk out. And it's beautiful. And others are inspired by that. So thank you for living that out.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the protocol, the modalities that you've been using, because my word, I look at a lot of the therapies that you've done and I'm like, gosh, does he do all this in a day? Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's no way, because that'd be a full-time job. But let's kind of talk about a few. I mean, there's several that I already do, which is great, and other people probably do, and so it's great preventative. But from infrared therapy to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, let's just kind of talk through a few. And then even like simple things like ACV, apple cider vinegar, and different things like that. So
yeah,
and maybe real quick before you dive into a few of those, maybe give us your top three that you're like, oh my goodness, these three game changers would not do my life without them now.
Yeah, I think, so there's five main pillars that I try to incorporate every single day in my life and in my routine, because I still have a routine. It's not as intense as it was when I was in the thick of things, but it's still, it's diet, the foods that I put in, they're either fueling disease or they're starving disease. I want to starve disease.
Yes.
Supplementation, okay, detoxification, oxygenation, and faith. And so that's how I'm basically approaching every single day. I'm waking up in the morning and that's how I'm approaching. When it comes to right away, I drink a large glass of water with a few drops of a lemon essential oil to kind of just a nice gentle flush of the liver. I also take modified citrus pectin, which will actually kind of bind galactin 3 in circulating tumor cells. And so I take that every morning. That's kind of my second glass of water. Then I typically intermittent fast. So I try to shorten my eating window out once a week. I try to do a 24-hour fast. But what I typically do when I do a 24-hour fast is on Sunday night, I'll have an early dinner. And then I'll have a later dinner on Monday. So I use that 24 hours to fast, just water. I really don't take supplements or anything when I'm doing that. And then I do coffee enemas, and I still do coffee enemas. And I used to make fun of my wife.
And I was going to say, hold up, because people listening might be like, what?
Yeah. And so, yes, Dr. Pete shoots coffee up his butt, organic coffee though. So, but
as long as it's organic.
Yeah. As long as it's organic. So never shoot anything that's not organic up there. But I used to make fun of my wife doing it 3 times a month. And she would just say it's for liver support and liver detoxification and whatever. And now, you know, unashamedly, I do them every single day. And it's been one of the greatest things to actually detoxify my liver. And, you know, if you hold it in there for, you know, every 3 minutes, that coffee's in your blood actually flows through your kidneys in a natural dialysis every 3 minutes. And so by holding it 12 or 15 minutes, it will actually do that 4 or 5 times, like a natural dialysis through your kidneys in your blood. And so that's one of the things to do. Hydrogen water is great. It's very beneficial. I think I use an Echo hydrogen water bottle, which just one flask is equivalent to basically the antioxidants of 1600 blueberries. And we know that blueberries are a powerful superfood, meaning they have the most amount of nutrients per calories. And antioxidants are so special because they will go and basically mop up free radicals and help kind of clear out that corrosion and kind of eliminate them from the body.
I use hydrogen tablets. How do you feel about those?
Yeah, I love them. I think there's those H2 tablets.
That's what I
use.
I don't
personally have them, but I think they're great. Anything we can do to hydrogenate the water, which helps us just replenish our own, just and make sure that we get hydrated, which is a powerful detoxification mechanism. I think for me, I love things like hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I love things like ozone saunas and a Hockett machine, it's called. And I love PEMF, just really supercharging the cells. And I do that every single day.
And you use a Rife machine.
I use Rife
for frequency,
just for frequency. And so there's a lot of things I do, but every day, do I do everything in my protocol? No, but every day I'm making sure my diet is clean, my supplements, I'm getting my supplements in, detoxification, that I'm doing something for detoxification, even if that's an infrared sauna, coffee enemas, lemon water, whatnot. I'm doing things for oxygenation and faith. And you know, that the resilience protocol that you're referring to that we offer for free. When, you know, on Thanksgiving, 3 days after I was diagnosed, I asked my wife, I said, hey, do you think we can invite people into this journey with us on social media? And it was very apprehensive.
So glad she said yes, though.
You know, because it's just, we didn't know, you know, honestly, like she didn't know what was going to happen. Like she heard what the doctors had said. And I said, if we're going to go out, we might as well go out swinging and inspire as many people as we can along the way. Like if this is it, let's go. And she agreed. And we're so grateful that she allowed us to do that, because I basically share my journey. And I try to, I love researching things, and I love looking underneath the hood and love kind of discerning truth from fiction and so forth. And so, and then I put it all together in what's called a resilience protocol that I offer for free for anyone that follows us on Instagram and comments protocol in any one of just any one of the comments. We'll give them our 87-page resilience protocol. And that's free. You know, the personalization aspect of it, that's what we call Be Resilient right now. Yeah. And that's when I believe you can bring your health to another level. And that's what I personally did, which I believe was probably the greatest return on investment in my own natural journey to overcoming cancer.
Yes, and thank you for mentioning that, because I will put the link to that in the show notes. And I want everyone to go to that, because someone is either suffering with cancer right now or knows someone who is. So definitely send this over, this link over to someone that you know and that you love and you want to see healing occur. So thank you for that. I know our time is wrapping up here, but I want to talk a little bit, go back to the faith aspect of it. Was there a certain scripture verse or maybe a couple that you just really camped on? I mean, I know you're in God's word all the time, each and every day, but were there a couple scriptures you're like, this we're holding on to, not just myself, but us as a family?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of them is that I will live and not die and declare the lustrous works of the Lord, that no weapon for and against me can prosper, that no evil can befall me. With the enemy uses for harm, God's going to turn around and use it for his glory. As he's coming in one way, God's going to cause him to flee divided in seven. And, you know, and if he be for me, like, who can come against me? Like, who cares who comes against me if my God is for me? And he's my El Shaddai, my God of more than enough. He's my healer. But I think it's like David said, he said, you know, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Let's put him back on the throne of our life. And I think for me, it was just making sure that every single day that my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Amen.
And I think that probably more than anything has resonated in my spirit, the bigness of our God. So often the circumstances, you know, become this insurmountable thing and our God becomes this puny little thing down here. Rather than our God is so big and the devil's under our feet, like no weapon for and against me can prosper. He's given me all authority over all the power of the enemy. I tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And so every morning it's just coming into the day with perspective. And for me, that's my God is truly amazing and Jesus is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Jesus is Lord. Yes. Well, you are just a beacon of his light. And I thank you for just being, humbly, just a humble leader and yet a humble servant, you know, and sharing your story and I'm so grateful that Stephanie allowed you to share your journey online, because it has inspired so many people, not just those of us that know you and love you as friend, but those that don't even know you and are struggling and going through something, whether it's cancer or not. You have really helped to elevate, hopefully their faith, but also their belief in the Lord, and also to know that there's hope. There's hope.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. It's I'm so, so honored. So grateful for the privilege to hopefully just let people know that cancer doesn't have to be a death sentence.
That's right.
And that there's hope for you. And it starts with just little baby steps and simple steps forward. And I believe if we get you going in the right direction, gain a little bit of momentum, like all things are possible. I really believe that.
I believe that too. Well, you are a prime example. So thank you for your time and God bless you. And just hallelujah, God is so good. I'm so grateful for your life.
Yeah.
So I will put this episode out and I'll put the show, the link in the show notes so everybody can go and check out Be Resilient. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. God bless you, friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this episode of Visibly Fit. Dr. Pete is the real deal. And he just has a miraculous story. So I hope it did inspire you, encourage you. Please share this episode with others that you know in your life that might be dealing with some cancer issues. Or again, if you just want to prevent cancer, it's a big deal to know what kind of protocols to be and how to be living, right? Because it's lifestyle. But definitely those that are in your life, or maybe you're dealing with cancer, go to the link in the show notes and schedule a call. And you can get started right away on the protocol. So this is real important. Again, go to the link in the show notes and that will take you there. All right. God bless you. And thanks so much for tuning into this episode. And we will catch you next time on Visibly Fit. Be blessed.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.